Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. We are live on Digital Drive, also known as Radio Row, here at SEC Media Days. Our coverage presented by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. Also have great locations on Highway 100 in Bellevue and Charlotte Pike on the west side. My favorite. Shout out to John Luke and company out at Brewhouse West. But excited to have them on board here today and all week at SEC Media Days. We had a fast and furious first hour. Appreciate Clark Lee for joining us, Cole Kubelik, as well as others. Diego Pavia, Vanderbilt quarterback, going to join us at the bottom of the hour. So looking forward to that.
You know, it's funny with Saban being gone now. I mean, now it's the second year being gone. There's one coach everybody waits on, and he does not care about being here.
Kiffin.
Yeah. I mean, just the media throng that gets around him, and he does not care.
He was at the podium. I guess he's done now.
Just walked through like, you know, leaving the castle, going out into the forest. He didn't just walks out. He does not go to Radio Row. He tries to be Saban Jr.
Yeah.
Now, I say that media-wise, Lane Kiffin's never done anything to put himself in that kind of air of being a great coach. His teams have always underperformed, I think. You know that I don't think he's a great coach, but people still want to talk to him because he says something outlandish or something cool or different. But until you start winning a few games, man, that runs out after a while.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you gotta do it at some point. You know, we were kind of talking while Clark Lee was on, like, well, we were playing that. The thing that has already stood out to me in talking to him and talking to other people here is how he looked at how he was doing things as a coach in running a program.
Yeah.
And I think Cole used the phrase, you know, looked at himself in the mirror. And you can tell that he's made some changes. And I said to you, coaches have such an inflated ego and can't get out of their own way most of the time that I'm very impressed that he was able to do that, listen to people, and ultimately make changes that I think have benefited his program in a very big way.
Well, look what happened last year. I mean,
right.
They beat Alabama, almost beat Texas. I mean, down the stretch, they hit some bumpy roads, but, you know, win the bowl game. But he had to, because we talked to Clark, you know, when you came in here in 23, no, when you came here last year, it was, you know, there's a coach on the hot seat.
Right.
There's a coach on the hot seat.
Sure.
And he knew it.
Sure.
He knew it, you know, and now it's kind of like, oh, man, there's Clark Lee. They beat Alabama. They got something going over there. So, yeah, I think it's great. You know, we brought up earlier the Tom Coughlin being the tough guy. You know, Michael Strahan took him aside in 2007 and said they were going bowling. He's like, we couldn't go bowling during training camp. And Strahan says, you need to lighten up. You need to lighten up a lot. And they won the Super Bowl that year. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. But I think now in the portal era, coaches
or area
have to check their ego, because guys are like, I don't want to be here. I mean, so you got to adapt to a lot of different things that are going on. I think Clark Lee knows what's going on at Vanderbilt, and then he's got the Pavi is going to be fun to talk to. I mean, just listen to him. And we said earlier, I mean, he brought in a rock star status to this event. Everybody wants to talk to Diego Pavia. I've never seen anything like this before, the Vanderbilt football player.
By the way, for those of you that may be tuning in thinking that you were going to hear DVD, we have done the little switcheroo this week with us being here at SEC Media Days. We are going 12 to 3. They are 9 to noon. Jared will go 3 to 6 this week, and just trying some things with SEC Media Days.
Yeah.
So for those of you that have kind of wondered. But, yeah, I agree. And it's I think what's interesting about today is there's, like, when you look at the schedule, obviously the commissioner let everything off. As he always does. But then in LSU, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, those are four teams that people, and Cole kind of talked about, you know, who's kind of next besides the Texas, Georgia crew, maybe Alabama in there. You know, LSU every year is, I think, viewed as they're going to do something, and then, quite frankly, they've disappointed since Brian Kelly's been there.
Yeah, that's kind of the talk of media days about them.
And then South Carolina is the one that everybody's kind of given the side eye to of like, huh, I haven't noticed. It's kind of like the girl that does the glow up in between right. years in high school. It's like, yeah. I haven't noticed her before. Like yeah. that's or guy, you know. So that's kind of what South Carolina is. Vandy, I think, is still in the okay. Do it again. Show us again.
Yeah.
You know, and then Ole Miss is, I guess, I think Ole Miss, the standard has just kind of become, at least with people on the outside of, yeah, they're probably like 8-9 wins.
Remember, Ole Miss has never been to an SEC championship game. Never.
Yeah.
Mississippi State has. Ole Miss never has been one.
Vandy.
None.
Vandy and Ole Miss, I think, are the only ones.
Kentucky.
Has
not been to one. And so. Then, you can add Oklahoma, the new one. I'm not adding the new ones to it yet. I mean, the ones that have been around for.
But, I mean, even Missouri did it like their first 2 years.
That's right. They went. So there's a lot still there, you know, for a lot of teams. But it's funny. You look at the Tennessee schedule. Third weekend, they play Georgia.
Yeah.
To me, Chase, I think that determines their season. I really do. I think if Georgia comes in there and knocks him out in Knoxville, then Tennessee's like, oh, what are we going to do now? The quarterback's not doing good. But if they can knock Georgia out. Then they're 3-0. Then they're feeling pretty good. And that schedule's pretty favorable for them. Same with Vanderbilt. You know, they get Charleston Southern. Then they got to go on the road to Virginia Tech and South Carolina. So they're out of the gate. Vanderbilt's got two of those three games, which are huge for them.
You know what I like, though? Everyone we've talked to has that, you know, we bring up Georgia State or Missouri or Texas, the ones that were so close, but they weren't quite there. And you can just kind of see the steam start to come out because they know if you had those, we could have been having a very special conversation when it came to Vandy. And I think that would have changed how things were at the end of the year as well. So can they use that as motivation this year with having so many of their guys back?
Yeah, I agree with you. And that Georgia State game has brought up quite a bit with Vanderbilt players because that's like, that should have never happened. And I like that attitude. It should have never happened.
Let's go to the phone, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. I had to like remember how to do this. I've been off so long.
I know.
Clay is called in. Hello, Clay. We knew we'd hear from you today. What's up?
Hey, Joe, how was your weekend?
Great weekend, man. How are you?
Doing good. Now, Chase, did I hear correctly? Were you on sabbatical last week or assignment what?
Yeah, Joe likes to say that I was on assignment or sabbatical. I just took a little vacay.
Okay. By the way,
thanks.
Boys, Nashville's just gone absolutely nuts. I'm in Green Hills, and it's just crazy in Green Hills today. But
why?
Just so many people here. Nashville's gotten big.
Did you just notice that? I noticed that like 11 years ago. But thanks.
Yeah. Well, so has Clark Lee spoken to the media yet?
He spoke to us, and that's all that matters.
He will address the media coming up, I think, in about 45 minutes. But he's already been on with us, which is all that really matters.
Big Joe, I'm going to put you on the spot, pal.
Okay.
How many games does Vandy win this year?
I think they're at 7. They got to go, Clay, they have to go to Virginia Tech, South Carolina, Alabama, and Texas and still get LSU at home and then Tennessee on the road. I mean, it is a tough, tough schedule. If they go 7-5, Clark Lee's coach of the year.
That's what I'm hoping for, honestly, is 7-5. And the reason why I say that is, you know, you go 7-5 in the regular season. If you happen to lose your bowl game, it's still a winning season. That was the problem with Derek Mason. You know, he made 2 bowl games at 6-6, but lost both of them. And that's, you know, to me, that's still a losing season.
So no, you're right. You're right. But let's not downplay what they've got to do. I mean, the Virginia Tech thing, tough. South Carolina, tough. Then Alabama. Alabama players, from what we've gathered, that's the one game that they're like, all right, we got to get this one because we were embarrassed last year in Nashville. So Alabama's part of that game. Then you got to go play Texas. I mean, and then, you know, throw Missouri and Tennessee and all this. I mean, it's a tough, tough schedule. And I think 7-5 would be great. Would be great for Vanderbilt. They go 7-5 because who they got to play?
Yeah. Chase, by the way, You know, yes, you and I still have a lot in common. We like Vanderbilt. We love the Dallas Cowboys, and we dislike Jerry Jones.
That's very, very true. We're practically brothers.
So you boys are set up right down there at SEC Media Days, right?
Yes, sir.
Joe, go find a Krispy Kreme, okay, and have some donuts.
Clay, do you know who this coverage is brought to you by at SEC Media Days?
Who's that?
A Brew House South in Cool Springs.
Brew House South, okay.
Yes, sir.
Go by and tell them hi and say thanks.
See you, boys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Clay. Right. Appreciate it. You too. I always enjoy when Clay calls
in. All right, we got a Dr. Crane, you put on our call screener. This is a normal Clay. That's not normal Clay.
Well, I had to put normal something up there. When Eric calls, I put normal Eric. We've had multiple Erics. I know we haven't had multiple Clays, but, you know, multiple.
I get, like, just for saying. Eric, when he calls in, to say, correctable Eric. He always calls it correctus.
That's true.
Clay, you can call Clay crazy Clay. We don't mind. He doesn't mind either.
Donut Cray.
There you go.
Krispy Kreme Clay, one of the three.
Donut Clay, something like that. We will have Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia join us at the bottom of the hour. We're live at SEC Media Days here on Digital Drive Radio Row at the College Football Hall of Fame. We'll have more coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe on this Monday, 102.5 The Game. We are live at SEC Media Days, the College Football Hall of Fame, just next to the Omni Hotel in downtown Atlanta. We had Clark Lee earlier. We'll have the quarterback, Diego Pavia, coming up here in just a few minutes. Really good conversation that we had with him. And Joe, it's been a few years since, I guess, either one of us have been to SEC Media Days. What do you think of the setup here at the College Football Hall of Fame?
It's fantastic. Last year was in Dallas because they wanted to welcome Oklahoma and Texas into the league, but this is great. I mean, here at the College Football Hall of Fame, I mean, it's a walk around. You see something. Every time you make a lap, you see something. Yeah, new. So I think it's great. Everybody's kind of compacted into one area with the print guys, the electronic media is on another side. And so I think the access is great, and the SEC does a good job of getting all the video out and corralling people. I mean, this could go off the rails.
Sure.
And it never does because of all the hard work. So many people behind the scenes getting this done. So it works out well. I love it.
Right. I love that you use the word corralling because that's definitely what's happening.
I mean, herding cats makes you laugh because cats hate people. And so herding. But this is they're more willing, the people here, to help out and kind of fall in line and do things. But this is fun. I mean, this is college football, and this is what you love, and you see it, and you get involved in it. You talk to people around the country who love college football as well. So it's great, and, you know, it's going to be – I think it's – is it here again next year, I was told? I'm not – they kind of move it around, but
– I'm not sure. I actually haven't heard.
Somebody said next year, then they'll reevaluate after that. And speaking of that, Greg Sankey talked earlier, and he talked – the first 20, 25 minutes was about nothing on the field.
Yeah.
And it just drives me insane.
But that's where we are.
That I don't hear about it. And now you hear the talk about, well, 14 teams, could it be 16 teams? Should the SEC go to 9-game schedule? I mean, there's all this stuff that's going on. But I want to talk about what's going on in the field. And it seems that's like not of a story right now. And it really, really bothers me. And there's nothing I can do about it.
Can I just say this? Because he was asked about this too. Are we ever going to have a year where a coach isn't complaining or you know about a certain thing, or Sankey's being asked about, can they just go to 9 games already?
They should, right?
Like, they should have done it 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, especially with an expanded – and, you know, Saban used to bitch about it, and other coaches used to complain about it. I mean
– well, who would Saban rather play, Louisiana Monroe or Georgia?
Right.
I mean, it's so right. – I know where he's coming from on all that. But go, but I'm 50-50 on that because if you add – so you've got 12 games. If you go to 9 SEC games, then you have the one game outside your conference, the Power 5. That leaves only 2 games, the cupcake games, right? Well, a lot of schools need that.
Yeah.
Like MTSU needs that. The group of 5 schools need the payday. They really need the payday because they're not getting it from their own TV schedule. So I'm torn. I like 8, some like 9. I don't know, but I understand the group of 5 kind of idea looking at this of the money they need, the money they got to get, and they get from a guarantee.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like since other conferences have taken it that way and gone to nine, that the SEC is going to eventually follow suit. Usually it's the other way around. Everybody's following what the SEC is doing. But I think that it's going to happen. To your point about the schedule, though, and I haven't, you know, I wasn't down there. I've read some of his quotes. I do wonder, is the SEC championship game on life support?
Absolutely.
Because I honestly have a strong argument that the conference championship game should go away. And I think the coaches feel that way too, especially the ones, like if you are if you're one of the top four seeds, you have to play an extra game.
Yeah. No, you do. But here's the deal. Say if you're South Carolina, who's that fourth seed, who needs a win to get into the playoffs. And they got to play Texas. Texas is the number two team in the country. By beating Texas, you're in the playoff. Now, if you don't have the conference championship game, you're not getting in the playoffs because you don't have that opportunity to play the Texas of the SEC. So I don't know. That's a great point. But again, if you're Texas, you're already in. So why you can play the conference championship? Until they take it away, and the SEC championship still is important. That's what you play for right now. I mean, SEC championship. Oh, no, we play for the national championship. But you still SEC, man. It still means something as of right now.
It just means more.
It does just mean more, Chase. You had to lean in and say that.
I did. And we plan to be joined by Commissioner Sankey at some point this week. So he's usually very, very good about that. He'll make the rounds on Digital Drive, Radio Row. And I plan to ask him that point blank. Is that a discussion that game should probably go away?
What if he says, "Why don't you just shut your mouth, Chase?"
I'll call Sean Henry.
Then I'll say something to him. I say, "You won't talk to my friend that way."
I'll call Sean Henry.
And then he goes, "Why don't you shut your mouth too?" Next thing you know, there's a brawl on Radio Road, Digital Drive, whatever.
With the commissioner. Two idiots from Nashville, the commissioner.
Oh, never ask back again. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That could definitely be something. I can't just – it's the – Are sun. The clouds?
Yes.
Okay, it's the sun, because like the lights keep dimming. There's a lot going on.
Maybe
right
you're
now.
About to be raptured, Chase.
I don't
Maybe
know.
That's it. Take me with you, please.
Like I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well, then ask the question. Don't. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
Thank you, Mike. That will never get old.
No, that's great, man.
Coming up next, the fine quarterback from the Vanderbilt Commodores, Diego Pavia, is going to join us right here on our Radio Row at our set. And again, all of our SEC Media Day coverage is presented by Brewhouse South. Experience Nashville's ultimate sports and brew hangout at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs, and also Highway 100 in Bellevue and out west on Charlotte Pike. Of course, my hangout. And we appreciate them for being on board with us. The Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix is coming to the Nashville Super Speedway Labor Day weekend, and 102.5 The Game has your chance to win VIP tickets to the IndyCar race. Text in the keyword RACE, R-A-C-E, now to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP tickets. For more information on the event, visit MusicCityGP.com.
Oh, you didn't know? You had a call!
Big Joe Live, Radio Row, SEC Media Days. Of course, it is presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. We had the head coach on earlier and Clark Lee, and now we say hello to the quarterback. Diego Pavia joins us now, the quarterback for the Commodores. I got to tell you, I'm excited to have you on the show. You got this rock star thing going. I mean, I saw you at UFC the other night in Nashville. I mean, what is this like being here in Atlanta at SEC Media Days?
I mean, it's a gift for sure. Something that I admired. Obviously, when I was a little kid, I saw these SEC Media Days, and so now just coming, it's a humble beginnings for sure. But we got more to accomplish this year, and so I'm ready for Vanderbilt football.
And I love hearing you say that, because you went through last year, came on the scene, newcomer of the year, and then it looked like that was going to be it. Everything worked out. You're able to come back. Why was it important for you to finish this journey at Vanderbilt with what you started with Coach Lee, Coach Beck, Coach Kill, and all your teammates?
Well, I think it's important first to notice that we retained a lot of talent. We retained all our coaches. So I want to give a shout out to like the donors, the alumni who support us, because without them, then we wouldn't be able to hold Coach Lee here at Vanderbilt, Coach Beck, Coach Kill, and people like that. And, you know, players follow the coaches. And so that's something I did from New Mexico State coming here to Vanderbilt. And so I'm really thankful, you know, to first off have Coach Beck as the offensive coordinator again. It's going to be year four under him for me. So, but most importantly, I came back to finish something that, you know, that we started, and that's to win a national championship. It's going to be, you know, the SEC championship is going to be here in Atlanta. So I'm hoping I make the visit again.
All right. So I got to say, Diego Pavia is with us. So I called the MTSU game when you played New Mexico State. You ran all over New Mexico State. I told this man here, I said, next week they play Auburn. Auburn's not going to stop you. And they didn't. Was that the moment you knew, like, I can play at this level and exceed at this level?
Well, I believed in myself since the beginning, since New Mexico military. I believed that I could play in the SEC. And, you know, I wanted to my whole life. When I was coming out of high school, my mom was like, I got enough money for you to walk on one semester, you know, to make it happen. And my brother was more like, hey, you know, check out the JUCO route. And so I ended up going JUCO. But to finish your answer, I mean, you know, that game was a good one. We got a lot of players from New Mexico State that are playing on Vanderbilt right now. And so super excited for those guys. And we can't wait for this season.
When you came to Vanderbilt last year, was that what you expected? I mean, because people are like, oh, man, they beat Alabama. They almost beat Texas. They played this, won the bowl game. But in talking to you, you expected all this.
I mean, I expected more. We undermined the mission. I feel like there's a few games that we left in the tank,
right?
That I wish that I could have back. You know, I feel like Texas, every loss I blame on myself when I go home at night. And so there's always something that I could do better. Texas was a big one. You know, two interceptions on tip balls was big. South Carolina, we didn't come to play. They physically beat us. And so that'll be a good game. And then Georgia State, we lost in the last 10 seconds, you know? And then you think about Missouri, we lost in, you know, triple overtime or double overtime to those guys. We win those three games, we're in the playoffs, you know. So that's, we're as close as Coach Lee said, we're as close as 10-2 as we are 2-10. So we just got to keep our foot on the pedal right now.
Diego Pavia is with us, Vanderbilt quarterback. Building off of that, you mentioned all the guys that came back. I think Coach said this morning you're top 10 in the country of guys that have come back. You actually have something you can build on, like what you were just saying, of leaving, you know, a couple games that you really wish you could have back.
Right.
You have that opportunity to correct some of those things this year. Is that what is really exciting for you guys, that you know that you can kind of look back at that and you all were there and experience it together?
Right. I think there's a lot of fire under our asses right now of, hey, go get this done. Like it's something that's so tangible, you know, and we want it so bad in the locker room. Everyone just dreams about it, goes home at night and just thinks about it. And so for me, it's going just being there every single day and just giving it my all every single day. There's actually a verse in the Bible. It's like a little story, and it talks about the tokens. And just to give it like a little quick little rundown, or it's talked about talents. And I forgot the disciple, but he gave three people. The first person, he gave him three talents. The second person, he gave him two talents. And the last person gave him one talent. And the person he gave three talents to came back, and the disciple got six talents from him. Then the second one, he gave him two, came back, he got four from him. The last guy, he just buried his talent. He didn't do nothing with it. And so when he came back, he just gave him his talent back. He just had one. He asked him, like, why didn't you do anything with it? And so for me personally, the way I take that is I'm 5'10", 205 pounds. You know, from Albuquerque, New Mexico, I don't run a 4.43, 4.4. And so for me, what it means is what I got is give it all I got, you know. And so that's the mentality going into this year, is whatever we got, this is all it. You know, this is the last dance.
How much do you play for your mom? Because you tell me that story, man, I'm back to thinking about my mom. I'm like, that's going to resonate with so many people.
I mean, my mom is probably my biggest supporter of all time. She gave me a lifetime opportunity, and, you know, I'm just running with it right now. And so my mom is, she's fully deservingly of everything that I get. You know, she's the one who put me here, really. And so, like, whatever she wants, she gets now. And so she knows the importance that she has on my life, and you know, this season will obviously be for her too.
I love, you know, Tom Brady talks about opportunities. Everybody's going to get an opportunity, but are you ready? You had yours and you were absolutely ready. I mean, do you go back and think, man, this is fun and it's going to continue to be fun? How does that all measure up in your mind?
I mean, winning's fun. It's only fun if you win. I'll tell
right?
you that.
Yeah.
I remember being at New Mexico State, we were 1-5 and it was not fun at all. And then I finally got my opportunity again against UMass. And then I told my brother, I remember texting my brother at the middle at halftime. I got my phone. I got my phone out. And we were down. Keep in mind, we're down like 17-3 or something. I got my phone out. And I was like, hey, this is over with. And I told him, like, this is the last chance, like, that I got. And so from there on out, we won 5 of the last 6, went to a bowl game in our first year at New Mexico State.
Unbelievable.
Diego Pavia is with us. How excited are you that Eli's back with you, too?
That's like asking Patrick Mahomes how glad he is to have Travis Kelce. You know? I'm super excited. That kid is not only is he a great talent, but he's a one-of-a-kind person. Helps me, helps the whole team bring us closer to Christ. Obviously, I'm still working on it. But that kid deserves everything that he's getting and more.
I love that. I love hearing that.
And when people see him test his numbers, I mean, I don't know anyone else who jumps a 43-inch vertical, power cleans 365. I mean, that kid's a freak. He's a freak. Mark my words, when they see him on Pro Day, they're going to be like, oh, my gosh. You're going to see all those tweets and stuff about Eli Stowers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he'll be that guy, and I'm praying for him to go first round.
Oh, I think it's great. We talked to your coach earlier about you having this autonomy, this control of the offense. Do you have the power to audible? Do you have the power to do? What's your mindset? What's the game? What do they give you, Coach Beck, give you to run the game?
I mean, I'm so thankful to have him for year four. He trusts me a lot. And, you know, we're talking about him allowing me to, you know, go through some audibles and go fast tempo. And what I see is what I roll with. Obviously, we haven't gotten there yet. But, you know, to have Coach Beck as my coach and he knows what I see now, I know what he's thinking. And so we're always just on the same page. If there's a mistake, we fix it on the sideline. There's not too much yelling at each other. There's not too much, you know, bickering at each other. And obviously there will be some from him and him telling me, and, you know, I'm a yes, sir. And
right.
I'm going to do what he says, because in reality, that's his job's on the line. You know what I mean? But he lets me roll with whatever. That's what I like.
I love it. Can you text us at halftime if something's going wrong? Hey, Chase and Big Joe, we might be down, man, but don't count us out.
Hey, I'll tell you this. I'm never out to fight.
I love it.
I love that. Diego Pavia is with us. How much have you worked on kind of – you mentioned the losses, and you put those on yourselves. There's always going to be the, well, hey, the league's figured him out now. They got the film on him. I mean, they see what he can do. How much are you adjusting to kind of when you go to Tuscaloosa or you play opponents that you played last year where they're going, hey, no, wait, that wasn't in his repertoire last year.
right. I will say this. I don't want to give too much of my
doing,
you know what I mean? But I got a page full of notes probably for every team that we play and how they played us. And if they choose to play us like that again, I'll have the answers to the keys. So.
Okay, you keep receipts too, don't you?
For sure.
That kid's great. Vanderbilt, we've been here a long time covering SEC Media Days for Vanderbilt. They haven't had a true rock star come through here until you.
You don't think so? It's a natural. I mean, there's a lot of rock stars there.
Not with Vanderbilt football coming down here. I mean, it was kind of an afterthought, but you put them on the front page, though. You and Coach Lee have put them on the front page. People can't wait to talk to you.
Well, you know, I appreciate that comment. But I'm a nobody, you know what I mean? 7-6 ain't good enough. And I talk to my brothers about that all the time, is that, and my mom too. My mom is like, man, you kind of made it. I'm like, kind of made it. I'm 7-6. Like, see me in the national championship, you know, let me go win a national championship and then we'll celebrate that after.
Have you paid her back yet for your getting into walking on the JUCO?
And some.
Atta boy. Love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I can tell you this, as someone that when I came out of the womb, I had two choices, orange and white or black and gold. I went black and gold.
I
growing
love
up
that.
In Nashville. If you bring a national championship to Vanderbilt, I will lead the parade down West End. We'll go find pieces of the goalpost from last year.
I think my brothers might beat you too broadly.
Well, that's okay.
But we'll have a great time. It's in Miami, so we'll probably stay the night in Miami.
I love it. You got this all planned out.
You got to manifest this stuff. You got to see it before it happens. But, you know, I'm super excited just for this year, for the guys that we have around. And then, you know, our defense, too. A lot of people don't talk about our defense, but our defense is really, really solid this year. It's sometimes hard to find a window to throw in at practice sometimes. So those guys are going to be well prepared. And, you know, I can't wait for this year. It's probably my funniest journey so far is here at Vanderbilt, and the funnest offseason has been here. But more importantly, I've seen the hardest workers here at Vanderbilt. Every time I walk outside, I'm thinking, you know, I outworked someone today, you know, and I did three workouts, and I go outside and Eli's catching jugs, or new freshmen is like learning after Eli to catch jugs and stuff. And so this stuff is just going to replicate, and Vanderbilt football is going to be, you know, someone to look out for.
I think it's great. You know, your career, you come here and everything, it's just been such a whirlwind for you, so much fun. So let me ask you a fun question. We asked Coach Lee this earlier. Do you have any parts of the goalposts from the win over Alabama?
No, I don't even have my jersey.
You don't have your jersey?
No, I think it might be out here. Yeah, I think it might be out here, actually.
There's one of your jerseys that's out there. I don't know if it's that one in particular.
Well, Coach Lee's got part of the goalpost. We'll get that from him to give you.
Yeah, we'll call him. We'll say, come on, Coach. Diego, thanks so much for doing this. Good luck this year. We're really looking forward to it. You're fun to watch and just love your demeanor as well. So thanks so much for doing this.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me and look forward to the season with you guys.
Absolutely. Diego Pavia joining us here on the program. We'll have more coming. SEC Media Days, 102.5 The Game. Chase the Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, live in Atlanta, Hot Atlanta, at the College Football Hall of Fame, Digital Drive, Radio Row, SEC Media Days. Appreciate Diego Pavia for joining us here on the program. And, Joe, I mean, we've been talking about Vanderbilt a lot today. Obviously, this was their day. Tennessee will be tomorrow. Josh Heupel is scheduled to join us tomorrow on the program, so we'll talk to the Tennessee football coach as well. But you just like we sat here with Pavia, and like I'm ready to go throw shoulder pads on and play with that guy. I mean, he's awesome.
You know, he knows he's not physically the biggest, fastest, or the best,
but he doesn't. What was it that Cole Kublik said earlier? It's just like he has a true belief that he's going to win.
Yeah. I mean, do you not want that from your quarterback?
And if nobody else believes it, then what are you doing?
Yeah, and that's
or
the
if
thing.
He doesn't believe it, then what are you doing?
Right. We asked the guy earlier was Randon Fontenot, the linebacker's safety for Vanderbilt, about what would you make when Diego went on the podcast talking smack? He's like, it's Diego. You know, we love it. I mean, he's got a belief in who he is, but he's got a belief in us. And so, you know, and Cole gave the story about, you know, when things go wrong, at the end of the day, you got me.
Yep.
I'm like, man, I love that. That sounds great. That's fun. So he got, and you know, and I, you know what I love about it? It's pissing off half the people here.
Yep.
Because they're like, oh, you're Vanderbilt. Because
Vanderbilt's never had anybody like that.
Nothing. Not even close.
They've never had anyone that pisses you off.
Yeah.
And I think it's fantastic. All right, you asked me to pull the schedule up.
Yeah, I'm just curious, the Vanderbilt schedule, because, you know, Clay asked us what their schedule is. And, like, there's a lot. And you had a great question to Clark. Like,
thank you.
How do you not go back to saying, oh, same old Vandy? And yep. Clark's like, we got to win. You got to win games.
So I try and look at their schedule not having the same old Vandy mentality.
Right.
But that's really hard to shake.
I mean,
that's just that's what it is. Being realistic and looking at their first five games, realistically, I say 3-2.
All right.
Optimistically,
5-0.
I say 4-1.
Okay.
I would say this about any team. Going back-to-back at Virginia, you know, Virginia Tech and South Carolina, to me, Virginia Tech is the more winnable one of the two.
Absolutely. First of all, first game is?
Charleston Southern.
All right, so you got to win that.
You have.
I mean, that's a no-brainer.
And I'll take it a step further. Not only do you need to win that, you need to flex a little bit. Because Vandy's kind of at the point where they need to flex in some of these games.
Easy, Vandy
fan. And they haven't been able to do that.
Easy on that right there. So, like, 50-0?
Well, maybe not that. But, I mean, they need to win it pretty decisively.
Okay. Then the Virginia Tech, which I think is going to be a really – it's a winnable game.
I think it's going to be a tough game, but I think they win.
Okay.
I think on paper, I think Vanderbilt is a better team than Virginia Tech.
Now, the third game, to me, it's – boy, that's
– you're really going to have to show me something.
The way that South Carolina punished Diego last year in Nashville, and, you know, he's keeping receipts, and I get all that stuff, but they had him figured out. But they did lose a lot of people.
They did.
So that's the –
they didn't lose their quarterback, though.
That's fine. He ain't tackling Diego. So yeah. It doesn't matter. All right, he can do all he wants to.
You know what's interesting about this is South Carolina opens against Virginia Tech in Atlanta here on a neutral site game.
Right.
And then Vandy goes to Tech. So, and then Vandy plays South Carolina.
There's a lot of we know each other in those first couple of games.
So, I mean, that's the – by the time those two meet –
Give them 2-1. We'll give Vandy 2-1 after three games.
Okay.
So fourth game is?
Fourth game is Utah State here, or Nashville.
Beat the Aggies.
Yep.
You look at 3-1.
All right. Then you go to T-Town.
Ugh.
And you talk about receipts.
Oh, man.
They're going to have receipts.
Yep.
Now, there's been a lot of turnover there, but you know that Kalen DeBoer, and I can't wait to hear what he has to say. He's not on the hot seat, but – when you coach in the SEC, you're always on the hot seat
right.
to some extent. So I think that one, that's the test, because you've got five games under your belt at that point. You beat them last year, but now you got to go there.
All right, so 3-2. All right,
yep.
So 3-2.
LSU is one that is intriguing to me, because what is LSU by October 18th?
Good point. They also figured out they punished him.
Did they figure him
last
out?
Year.
Did they figure him out, or was he banged up? I mean, everybody was at that point.
Yeah, I think I watched that game. They had they didn't fall for any of his acts. They had him pretty much corralled in for most of the game.
So LSU leading up to that at Clemson, La Tech, Florida, Southeastern Louisiana. At Ole Miss, South Carolina,
Woo-wee.
And then they come to Vandy.
If you're a Vandy fan, you hope they get their butt kicked by Florida and South Carolina.
Yep.
Then they've packed it in. I'm telling you, when Brian Kelly came on the podium earlier, I was talking to people on Radio Row. They're all like, "Oh, this guy, this guy."
I don't know if you consider this a hot take or just a strong opinion. That was Brian Kelly's final SEC Media Days.
I think it's a hot take.
Just remember that I said that.
Yeah, and then it became like, well, he's had a Heisman Trophy winner. They didn't do anything. He's had these great – now he's got a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
What can he do?
A good quarterback. He won the Heisman.
Yeah. But now he's still got another good quarterback in Nussmeier. So if you come in here and you're already limping, Vanderbilt, yep. you just punch him in the face. So say Vandy wins that. They're 4-2. So Vandy's 4-2, and now you're halfway through the season. And then I think Vandy takes a week off. And
let's see. After LSU, Missouri.
Okay.
I think there's an off week after Alabama.
Okay.
There is. So the off week's in between Alabama and LSU, which is probably a good thing.
So let's say Missouri wins. I mean, one of these are going to have to lose, right? So you're 4-3. Then November 1st, you go.
Texas.
Texas. So you're 4-4.
Then November 8th, Auburn in Nashville.
He's done. That program's done. I don't care how much money they spend, what they get. Yeah. They're all talking about how Hugh Freeze has been golfing and not recruiting. So 5-4.
Kentucky on November 22nd after the second bye.
Is that up there?
That's here, Nashville.
So that makes it. I'm off a game somewhere. So that makes them 6-4.
Yeah, and then at Tennessee. So you.
What did we miss?
Okay, let's just do it this way. Charleston Southern.
1-0.
At Tech.
2-0.
At South Carolina.
2-1.
Georgia State.
We thought Georgia State. 3-1.
Utah State.
4-1.
At Bama.
4-2.
LSU.
5-2.
Ooh.
If LSU blows it up for everybody else.
All right. Missouri.
5-3.
At Texas.
5-4.
Auburn.
6-4.
Bowl eligible.
7-4. Kentucky, sorry.
Yep, Kentucky. And then at Tennessee.
7-5. They're not beating Tennessee and Neyland. They're just,
a lot depends on quarterback play.
Yep.
A lot depends on what Tennessee is.
Yep. So
a lot of this depends. I mean, that can be said for anything, but a lot of that, if Tennessee's packed it in by then yeah, I think they could go beat them at Neyland.
So no Georgia, no Florida on that schedule.
Nope.
Interesting.
Nope. So there you go.
That's just. Like I said earlier, 7-5 is a massively successful season for Vanderbilt.
Oh, it'd be huge.
Massively successful. And you might get 8 wins out of that. You might go 6-6. You don't know. But now we're talking about him in this level. Whereas last year, we're like, 2-10, maybe 3-9, maybe. It all falls in their way. But look, they got the 7-6 last year and got it done. So, but there's a lot of hype around him and a lot of people talking about him. And as long as you got Diego, you got a shot.
Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe on until 3 o'clock today, 12-3 this week. There's a story out of Miami that is very interesting to me, and I think you and I have some pretty strong opinions on it. We'll discuss that coming up next. We're live at SEC Media Days here on 102.5 The Game.